It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin is home to more than 200,000 registered snowmobiles and thousands of miles of groomed trails each winter. That's from the State Department of Natural Resources, here to discuss trail conditions and safety. And you can join this conversation about snowmobiling. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jacob Holzklaw is the DNR's Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, overseeing the snowmobile and ATV programs across the state. Jake, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Good to be back.
Yes. Happy winter to you.
Yeah, it's been a strange winter. We'll just say that.
Okay. Well, the winter storm brought more than a foot of snow to several parts of the state. How are trail conditions out there?
Yeah. So down in the southern part of the state, especially, it's kind of crazy. It seems like the state did a flip flop. So the first trails to open up in this season were down in the southern part of the state. Reports are that they have some really good snow conditions in some areas. And then you go all the way to the northern counties of the state, and we have trails that have not opened yet. So kind of the full gamut.
Northwoods are kind of like, what's going on here? This is not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I think exactly. And, you know, you kind of feel for the business owners and the folks up there that do depend on the snowmobilers to bring a lot of funding and tourism up in that area. So we'll just kind of have to see how the winter cooperates.
Well, there are dozens of snowmobile clubs in our state. How do you collaborate with clubs to ensure trails are being properly maintained and properly groomed and marked?
Yeah, so really at the club level, the clubs will work with their local municipalities. They'll work with their local counties and their county forestry and parks departments. There is grant funding available through the state, and that's actually a separate wing that I don't supervise, but they provide grant funding to those counties, and that filters down to the club level. And I would say that, you know, the clubs are composed of some really passionate, dedicated volunteers, and those folks are going to be out there, you know, trying to maintain and make sure that everything is signed really well. We do have when we talk about signage, we do have a trail signage manual or handbook that we do provide from the DNR, and that allows clubs to, you know, be sure that they're signing properly and making sure people have enough heads up when they're getting up to stop signs and things like that.
Well, in 2022, the top snowmobile citation in Wisconsin was failure to comply with regulatory signs. When you talk about that signage, why might this be a common violation?
Well, I think part of it is sometimes when folks get out on the trail, I mean, they're having fun. They're recreating. They're not maybe necessarily thinking about the legalities sometimes. And I think something folks really need to remember is that, yes, snowmobiling is a blast. It can be a lot of fun. It's a very traditional Wisconsin pastime. But the signs there are, especially stop signs or regulatory signs, they're there for a reason. They're there for safety. And, you know, those signs will be placed at intersections, road crossings, things like that. And for good reason, we don't want folks going across the road or getting hit by another vehicle or, you know, maybe coming up to an intersection at a trail and getting hit by another sled. So, that was our top citation issued back in 2022. I just looked at the numbers. It was like 179 citations issued for that. So, yeah, that is something that we do watch pretty closely because it's a big safety issue.
What conversations do you have with local snowmobile clubs as far as snowmobilers staying on trails and off private land?
Well, I think it's just kind of on a case-by-case basis. I would like to get a shout-out, and I know we'll touch on it a little bit more later, but the county rec patrols, the sheriff's departments have a number of patrols throughout the state, and between them and the local wardens, there's some pretty good relationships built with the clubs and the county level. And so if there's issues, a lot of times they'll contact their local warden or their local sheriff's department, kind of let them know that maybe this is a problem area. And then that'll be a section of trails that, you know, if we can get out on patrol, we'll try to watch that and work that area and just make sure everybody's staying on the trail where they're supposed to go. So, because really, you know, Wisconsin has, I hear the number thrown around 25,000 miles of snowmobile trails statewide. So pretty incredible network of trails. And a good majority of those trails, you know, quite a few of those are on private lands. And we really depend on the goodwill of those landowners to have that trail system.
Well, when I think about such a vast trail system going all over Wisconsin, and then thinking about just the number of recreation wardens, you know, a recreation warden might be over like 9 counties. That's a lot of miles to be able to keep on top of. Is that a challenge for the DNR?
Oh, absolutely. It is. It's a challenge. Like you said, the recreation wardens have a very broad area. They have multiple counties that they're working with. You know, specializing in that wreck vehicle enforcement. And then just about every county has 1 to 2, maybe more, field wardens that are also actively involved in that wreck enforcement. And then because it is such a vast network of trails, we really do depend on partnerships with other law enforcement.
We're talking about snowmobile patrol and safety with Jake Holzclaw, who is the off-highway vehicle administrator overseeing snowmobile and ATV programs across the state. You can join in questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So when you have a bunch of different groups, you've got the conservation wardens, the state patrol officers, county sheriffs, municipal peace officers. There's a DNR. Are there gaps in snowmobiling enforcement? What is communication like?
Well, I think for the most part, at least in my area, I live up in the Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls area, and I think there's some really good communication. You know, obviously every area is a little bit different, but I think at least in my area, what I've seen is there's some really good communication between the wardens, the state patrol, officers, as well as the county sheriff's departments. And a lot of times those agencies will work hand in hand to work together, especially the sheriff's departments and the wardens. You know, you may have a big event or maybe an antique snowmobile ride or an ice race or something held out on the lake. And a lot of times they'll get together and try to meet up for some kind of a safety enhancement detail to improve safety in that area. So, yeah, I mean, it varies around the state, but I think for the most part, the officers work really well together.
Some people ride these very old snowmobiles. What can you highlight about antique snowmobile registrations?
So antique snowmobiles are kind of a unique animal. They have a unique registration. So if it's over 35 years old, you can get an antique registration for it. And then that'll be a reduced fee. So that is a benefit to it. And yeah, and like I said, you know, snowmobiling has always been has long been a passion of folks in Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin or Eagle River area is kind of considered the birthplace of modern snowmobiling. So yeah, there'll be folks or groups that'll get together and ride a bunch of old sleds, and it can be a lot of fun. It's a good camaraderie and a good time for folks to get together. That antique registration, it's good for 3 years. You know, it's only $20 initially, and then to renew it after that 3 years is $5. So it's a reduced rate over the normal $30 registration for a modern snowmobile.
Turning to tragedies now, the state DNR tracking snowmobile crashes, and between January and October last year, at least 16 fatal snowmobile crashes occurred. More than half of the reported incidents involved people driving under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah.
How is the DNR addressing alcohol use among snowmobilers?
Yeah, that's an unfortunate reality. Obviously, any snowmobile incident is one too many. And so one of the things we do is we have safety messaging statewide where we get out some messaging at different points throughout the season. We just want to make sure that people realize that, you know, when you're on a snowmobile or really any wreck vehicle for that matter, It's no different than driving a car or a truck on the roadway. The same dangers apply, the same legal limits apply as far as alcohol. And just to remind folks too that you can still be under the influence of alcohol even if you haven't, you know, necessarily met the, you know, 08 legal limit in the state. So one of the other things we do too is we try to have our safety enhancement details. We'll have wardens or rec patrols will be out there, you know, maybe later in the afternoon or after dark, monitoring that, watching for different safety violations, and then, you know, stopping people, making mm-hmm. sure that they haven't had too much to drink.
I'm just going to pause here. Jake Holzclaw, Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator for the Wisconsin DNR, our guide to the latest on snowmobiling conditions and safety. And you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your experiences at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore Wisconsin's snowmobile trail system that links all corners of the state. Trails in southernmost Wisconsin have opened before the North Woods, as we've been talking about, and that's from Travel Wisconsin Snowmobile Conditions Map. Call in with a question. Share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jake Holzclaw is the DNR's Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, overseeing snowmobile and ATV programs statewide. Jake, let's talk about sound. Wisconsin law says the standard noise level for a snowmobile manufactured on or after July 2nd, 1975, should be 82 decibels. So how does the DNR enforce sound standards for snowmobiles?
Yeah, so we have sound testing devices that have been calibrated, and we have a very specific testing sequence where if somebody is suspected of having some very loud sound, and generally wardens and other rec deputies can get a pretty good ear for it. You can kind of tell if that exhaust has been modified, which is another rule. They're not supposed to modify the factory exhaust to make it louder. So we do have some testing devices. We can stop that person and kind of go through that testing process. It only takes a couple minutes, relatively painless, and because that is a big complaint that we do have, you know, especially if they're traveling on private lands. You may have some landowners complaining that, oh, there's some loud sleds, and so that is something we watch for sure.
What does 82 decibels sound like? Can you give any comparison?
That's a good. I mean, it's if you listen to, you know, basically, I guess a normal motor noise, mm-hmm. it doesn't sound. It just doesn't sound obnoxiously loud. I guess for lack of a better term, it doesn't have a loud cracking sound to it. That's kind of deafening. It is hard to describe without actually actually sitting by the snowmobile itself.
Yeah, let's not do a demonstration mode there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
In terms of operating a snowmobile, you know, over 55 miles an hour during the hours of darkness, saying that's illegal,
yeah.
This limit applies to all public and private areas statewide. Do snowmobilers typically obey nighttime speed limits?
I think most of them do, yes. I think from what I've seen, most of them do, where some folks get a little bit, but as we talked about earlier with the fatalities and the injuries, not only is alcohol a factor, but a lot of times speed is a factor, and you combine those two things, and that's a dangerous combination. But, you know, every now and then we do have radar units where we can watch sleds out on, you know, maybe an open lake or a big area, a big field where sometimes folks will open up. But one thing we really want to remind folks is that, you know, really any speed over 40 miles an hour after dark, they tend to start overdriving their headlights. So in a way, the headlights can't keep up with the speed that they're going. They just don't have the same power of the headlights that a that a normal motor vehicle does. And then I did want to touch a little bit on the ice safety too for after dark.
Yes. What are conditions in terms of lakes and freezing and snowmobiles going on lakes?
Yeah, it varies so much statewide. It's been such a strange winter. It's been so warm, you know, last December, even into January, there were some pretty warm temps. Some areas of the state just recently in the last couple of days here with this colder snap and snow had some of their lakes freeze over or start to freeze over. So we really caution folks that are getting out on those trail systems. Remember that no ice is ever 100% safe. And, really use some good judgment. Talk to, maybe a local fishing club or a lake organization, something like that. A lot of times they'll keep track of varying ice thicknesses. We don't ever give a safe thickness of ice with the DNR, but obviously you're going to need more ice thickness to support more weight, like a snowmobile or another vehicle on the ice. And then just kind of a shout out too to parents. You know, if you have kids that are near ice, or you live near ice, you have access to frozen waterways, really keep an eye on them because it can turn into a pretty tragic situation if we get kids on thin ice. But yeah, and then especially after dark, you know, if somebody's snowmobiling after dark, you talk about overrunning headlights, really hard to see, you know, open areas in the water. There could be ice thick enough to support a sled, and then a few feet away, you have open water because of current or streams. Underneath. So
dangerous. Yeah.
Could be pretty dangerous. So, you know, use good caution. Have a float coat. A lot of snowmobiling gear actually has flotation equipment in it. If you don't have that, maybe take a life jacket with you if you're insistent on traveling on frozen water. Never a bad idea.
Talking about snowmobile patrol and safety with Jake Colesclaw, the DNR's Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Jake, what if a snowmobile breaks down? I mean, should you always go in groups, or how do you assist a stranded snowmobiler?
Well, we always encourage folks to travel together. Not only is it safer to have two or more folks traveling together, but it's more fun. I think it's just more fun to be out there with, you know, with your buddies or your family. So it's just a good idea. If you do choose to travel by yourself, you know, let somebody know where you're going, approximately when you're going to be back. But it's always a good idea to have some, I guess, for lack of a better term, some survival supplies with you on your snowmobile. You know, have maybe take some hand warmers. They make some really inexpensive, fast-acting chemical hand warmers that you can get nowadays. The other thing, you know, make sure you have a cell phone with you. Keep that protected so it's not going to get wet or frozen. And, sometimes it's not a bad idea to maybe have a snack or some water with you, something like that, in case you're out there for a period of time.
What is your most essential outerwear, on the snowmobile? Like, what do you not leave without?
Well, number one would definitely be just a good snowmobile suit. So a good pair of bibs that are windproof, very warm, good jacket, same thing, windproof, provides a lot of insulation. But I think sometimes what people forget is that there's going to be a wind chill when you're on a snowmobile because you're going to be traveling faster. And any little opening that you have in your gear, the cold's going to find it. So it's always good to have a balaclava or some kind of insulation around your neck, around your face, so that you can kind of, you don't have any gaps when you put your helmet on around all your gear.
In terms of that helmet, very important piece of gear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the DNR reports that operators wore helmets in terms of last year's fatal crashes but didn't have a Wisconsin safety certification. Should more snowmobilers take these safety courses?
Oh, absolutely. I would encourage anybody that is ever thinking about snowmobiling, they should take a course legally. Anybody born after January 1st of 1985 needs to take a snowmobile safety course. So, I mean, you're looking at folks now that, you know, up to 39 years old, you need to have that course. You are grandfathered in if you were born before that date, but it's never a bad idea to have that course because it covers some good specific safety regulations and gets people on the right track. So, yeah, always a good idea. There's in-person courses offered, and then we also offer courses online.
Let's take a call now. Mark in Boulder Junction is here. Mark, hi. Go ahead. What would you like to ask?
Just two questions. One, I'm not sure if the hours have changed for snowmobiling, but why is snowmobiling allowed between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.? I think you'd solve a lot of problems if you eliminated that time for using snowmobiling. And my other thought is we always bring up, for a lot of different things, a number of death accidents happening, but I think a more accurate way is looking at total number of accidents. Because, of course, I mean, anything can happen as far as, you know, people dying in an accident or surviving. And my wife was an EMT, and she did a lot of calls where people didn't die, but you never hear those statistics at all.
Mark, thank you for bringing up those points. Appreciate it. Jake, go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess the first question, I guess, why can they operate after dark? And I guess it's just... it's just one of those things. I mean, it's the folks that are snowmobiling and the state legislature. I don't see that they, I guess, see a problem with it. And admittedly, yes, it can be more dangerous to operate a sled after dark. And there is that temptation to go faster than 55 miles an hour or faster than the trail conditions allow. But you know, a lot of it does come down to, you know, some. At some point, the snowmobilers do have to make some good judgment calls on their own, and I think it would restrict people quite a bit if they couldn't operate after dark. You'd have people kind of getting stuck or trapped somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not being able to get back where they're coming from if there was a time frame crunch there. But and as far as injuries, yes, we do keep track of reportable injuries as well, and just for our listeners, just so that they can remember that, you know, if you are involved in a crash that requires medical treatment by a physician, that is a reportable crash. They can complete that. They should notify law. You know, first off, make sure that anybody else is okay that maybe is involved in the crash. Notify law enforcement. But there is actually a self-report form, pretty easy report to complete. And then we do keep track of those. But admittedly, yes, there's probably some crashes that we don't hear about or go unreported. But
do you have concerns about children riding on snowmobiles?
Well, I think it's like any other recreational vehicle. I mean, we want folks to be safe when they have their kids with them. We don't have passenger restrictions or anything like that. So, uh-huh. You know, a child could ride on a sled with an adult. And then also, you know, if a child takes a snowmobile safety course and they're over 12, they can run a snowmobile on a public trail. We always encourage them to be with an adult or a mentor to start out, just to kind of show them the ropes, so to speak, and make sure that they're doing things safely. And you noted before that there really isn't much of an issue with helmets, and that's probably because it's just cold. I think most people choose to wear a helmet out of comfort. Not only is it the safest thing to do, but you could get pretty cold without wearing a helmet. So always encourage folks, you know, and kids, everybody, to wear a helmet when they're on one of these sleds.
Okay, so this is like a favorite child question that I have to ask you before we go. I mean, what do you prefer more, ATVs or snowmobiles?
Oh, man, you asked me the impossible question.
When I
get out and patrol, I'll tell you, it is a blast getting on a snowmobile. They're very, they can be a lot of fun to run. And most of my experience with a snowmobile is basically working from one in an enforcement capacity. But it can be just as fun on an ATV because, let's face it, the weather's warmer. So I really can't pick a favorite. Sorry.
Oh, well, Jake, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jake Holzclaw is off-highway vehicle administrator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, overseeing snowmobile and ATV programs statewide. Stay with us for more on snowmobiling and the perspective of Miss Snowflake from the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. Join the discussion with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.